Radio Newsreels presents The Voices of the People in the News. This innovation in the gathering and presentation of news comes to you unaltered, not reenacted, but transcribed where it happens, as it happens. These are the actual voices of the people who make the news, not impersonation. The Radio Newsreel. New York City.
Fanny Hurst, one of the most widely read woman novelists of all time, comments on the effect the Second World War has on the American nation. In a not too obscure metaphor, Fanny Hurst likens the United States to a mid-Victorian heroine and hopes that the heroine will remain standing on her feet.
Now, most of you, I'm sure, who are familiar with the Victorian type of English novel, must recall a favorite device of the sentimental authors of that period. Many and many a time you must have run into a phrase regarding the heroine which read something like this. And from that moment on, the innocent girl became a woman. I think we may say that in the last week, this trusting country of ours has reached a grave and new maturity. We are face to face, ethically, spiritually, morally, industrially, and nationally, with realistic and idealistic crises. We are face to face with the immediate need to scrap our liabilities, salvage our assets, and readjust our national behaviorism to the terrible pattern of the moment. It is confusing, bewildering, but not frightening. It is colossal and difficult, but not impossible. At least one constructive fact has already come out of the disillusionment, the obscenity, the pain, the waste, and the threat that are all mixed up in this European shambles. The collapse of Europe has brought us sharply to our feet. In time, we know where we are at, so to speak. We know we are at the most important crossroads in our history. We know that we have been allowing ourselves to slip into a false paradise. We know that democracy is on trial for its life, and that they who would defile it shall not pass.
Washington, D.C.
As the United States begins to view the world situation with less jittery eyes and digs into the serious task of proper moral and military preparedness, Secretary of Labor Francis Perkins outlines a plan of apprenticeship for skilled workers in mechanical industries. Concerning the Labor Department's program, Madam Secretary Perkins says,
I received a report from the committee in charge of apprenticeship plans only a few days ago. It calls for an immediate expansion of apprenticeship, particularly in the national defense industry, as an integral part of the nation's defense program. Industry and labor are working with us, the report said, on an agreed-upon plan for the training of future skilled workmen, not by any shortcut methods or by government subsidies, but through carefully worked out standards of training. Our experience in the Great War proved that the time required for training apprentices to become skilled mechanics cannot be shortened appreciably and still have them true mechanics. The active cooperation of employers and labor in a unified nationwide program of apprenticeship will make a significant contribution to the fulfillment of the preparedness program and will materially assist in meeting future bottlenecks in production.
Washington, D.C.
At the head of the National Youth Administration is Aubrey Williams, who directs the activities of 250,000 young men and women participating in the NYA program. Concerning the contribution of the NYA to the National Defense Program, Director Aubrey Williams elucidates.
NYA activities will be included at several points under a comprehensive voluntary employment training program announced by Mr. Sidney Hillman, a member of the National Defense Advisory Commission in charge of labor problems and labor training. NYA workers are to be given opportunity for elementary training in trade and technical schools. We have already had conferences with all of our state administrators, with representatives of private industry, and other government agencies concerned with national defense. And we expect to have our program keyed to the new situation within, let's say, 30 days at the least.
Director of the National Youth Administration, Aubrey Williams, has this comment to make regarding the president's plan to conscript the youth of America for various duties in the defense program.
I believe that it is essentially a democratic way of doing things. We have in America for years had compulsory public school law, and I believe that that is good American doctrine. I should like to see a program offered to every young person in America of a wide and varied character, and they be permitted to choose the sort of program they would give a year's service in to their nation. I think it would be good both for the youth and the nation.
New York City.
I'm 17 years old, and I weigh 100 pounds and I'm 5 feet tall. I found a little song called Billy that we did first, and the people liked it so much that we decided to look for another one, and we sent her secretary out for some old tunes, and among them was Johnny.
Mm-hmm.
And we played the song for a while, and they happened to put an old-fashioned show on at the Tomahawk in Chicago, and they decided that I'd sing this number in the show. And then that was in February, and in August we made a record of it, and we were out on the West Coast. And then from there on, it's all very thrilling to me because I don't work hard.
So speaks the attractive little Miss Bonnie Baker, whose voice, accompanied by Aaron Tucker's orchestra, has been sold on over a million phonograph records. Miss Baker, who in private life is Mrs. Aaron Tucker, thus having outlined her own success story when interviewed backstage in a New York theater, retired to permit her husband to speak of more serious matters. Aaron Tucker speaks on war and music.
It seems to me that just in the last few days, a few weeks, shall we say, that there have been patriotic songs included in radio programs, and we were just discussing a little earlier about the possibility of a more martial type of music coming in to favor on the air, possibly along the popular styles of music, the lighter things will probably become more in vogue.
I imagine that there'll be a new crop of tunes written and played a great deal in the coming months. Something that will compare with the tunes we had in the last war, such as Over There and The Yanks Are Coming and Old Francie and, things like that, tunes like that. I imagine there'll be a new crop of such tunes and probably some very powerful tunes along that line to raise the morale and raise the patriotic spirit of the people who are listening.
Los Angeles, California.
Among the envied group of men who accompanied the Admiral Byrd expedition to the South Pole last year was the eminent American landscape artist Leland Curtis. Upon his recent return to Southern California, Mr. Curtis speaks of joining the expedition, the preparation of a cold-resisting paint medium, and the temperature at the South Pole. Mr. Leland Curtis painted landscapes with the thermometer reading 55 degrees below zero.
I've been painting since about 1919, and have specialized mostly in mountain subjects and snow and rocks, and enjoy mountaineering and skiing a great deal. It happened that Admiral Byrd was familiar with my work, and I was acquainted with him and with the director of the Division of Territories and Armored Possessions, Dr. Green. Through their invitation, I joined the expedition.
What was your work principally concerned with in the Antarctic?
Painting and black and white sketching of the scenes that I encountered there.
What was the temperature?
I couldn't say exactly through personal observation, but one dispatch went out stating that the temperature was 55 degrees below zero.
And being an artist, what did you do in the way of paints and material for low temperatures?
Through experience in the mountains of this country and in Canada, and knowing that my paints would very likely become too stiff to use in low temperatures, I did some advanced work at the California Institute of Technology with a medium, or experimenting to find mediums suitable for keeping the paint plastic at those temperatures. After devising a formula, I had it checked and improved from its chemical relation to the pigment by the Grumbacher Laboratories of New York. My paints worked very satisfactorily down there with that preparation.
Studio City, California.
Park Yukakis, dialectician and friend of the new mayor of Studio City, Smiley Burnett, is a member of an extremely esoteric radio audience. At the installation of Burnett as mayor of Studio City, Parker Caucus makes an address in which he declares himself in defense of the ever-present radio commercial. Not only does Parker Caucus defend commercials, he likes them.
I love the radio. Because I love to listen to the radio. I love to sit around in my living room with my whole family and listen to all the programs. The only trouble when you sit around with a lot of people and listen to the radio, everybody likes to talk. Now, I don't mind if they talk while the music is playing. And I don't even mind if they talk while somebody's trying to tell a few jokes. But when the fella comes on to tell the system, then everybody must be quiet. Because I love a commercial. To me, the commercial is the best part of the program. I like to have a fella come on the radio and tell me where I can walk into a clothing store and walk out looking like this for $7.95. I like to know, I like to have somebody come on the radio and tell me where I can go and get $300 and no questions asked. Now they have a new thing. It's called the dramatized commercial. Make a little play out of it, you know? Two women are talking, mother and daughter. Mother says to daughter, says, Mary, aren't you going out tonight? And Mary says, no, Mother, John and I had a spat. Mother says, a spat? Why, what did John say? And Mary says, John says I was slugged.
Radio Newsreel, a recent development in radio news presentation, offers the actual voices of the people who make the news. These are not impersonations. This unique record of events comes to you unaltered, not reenacted, but authentically transcribed on the scene of action. Watch for the next release of the Radio Newsreel.